Hello everyone, and happy New Year's to you, and welcome to my little podcast, I guess you can say, My Life with Multiple Sclerosis. Well, here we are. It is 2022. Unbelievable. There's not much I can say with that. My New Year's was pretty good. It was quiet. I spent just a quiet evening at home with my wife and everything, and that was it. Other than that, you know, it was kind of hectic because I had a couple family members catch COVID, and actually I think they caught the Flurona or whatever the heck it's called. It's a combination of COVID and Corona, which must be awful, but nonetheless, you know, they're still dealing with it, but they are good, so, you know. And then I found out my mom has to have surgery, heart surgery, to put a stent in her valve, which is the same thing that my grandmother or her mother had to do. You know, it kind of runs in our family. The only thing that kind of has me thinking is that with my mom, she has to have it 10 years earlier than my grandmother had to have it. So hopefully that goes out, you know, go well. You know, all I can do is pray on that. But other than that, I have been vaccinated. Yet, because of the wonderful thing that Ocrevus does, which is destroy T cells, it destroyed my T cells, so the antibodies did not stick onto any T cells, so it didn't stick. So I got vaccinated and got sick as a dog for no reason. So my thing was, okay, 6 months down the line, it's time for the booster shot, you know, and I'm like, well, do I get the booster shot? Because I don't really have any antibodies. I do understand that the antibodies can also hang on to the B cells as well as T cells. So I probably have some antibodies on the B cells. Not too sure if they check for B cells when they did the blood test, as they won't do it unless they're asked for it. But who knows? Anyway, I was not sure if I should get the booster shot because I'm like, would it even matter? You know, they told me basically, since you don't have the vaccine, you're just going to have to keep wearing a mask and keep social distancing, which I was fine with, you know. But my thing is, would I need the booster shot if what I'm doing is the same thing that I have been doing and I have not been, you know, anywhere near sick, you know, because I'm a germaphobe. So I was doing this. Yeah, I wasn't wearing a mask, but, you know, I was doing this before this whole pandemic of constantly cleaning my hands and everything like that. So, you know, that I was not scared of. But the thing was that, you know, do I even waste time getting a booster, getting, you know, any kind of ill feelings and getting sick and it not even working? Or, you know, because the thing is, you have it's a booster for a reason. But if the first two didn't work, then the booster's not going to work because it's not going to boost anything. So, and then that's what I was like, you know, do I need to get revaccinated all over again and go through this whole thing again and go through the booster? So I called my nurse practitioner, but they never got back to me. But they just, and I'm not too sure if she's with them anymore because she just stopped getting in contact with me. But another person called, and I have to give them a call back. But I'm not too sure if I'm even going to give them a call back because I know they're going to tell me the same exact thing. Like, you know, if you got the first two shots and they didn't take, then the definition of a booster is not going to work, you know what I mean? Because it's not going to boost anything that's not there. So, you know, I'm not even sure I should even give them a call back because I know exactly what they're going to say. But what I do is, you know, I try to eat right, work out, you know, exercise, and stay away from people as much as possible. Because even before this whole thing started, man, I thought people were very nasty. They would just cough in the air and sneeze in the air. Or the worst is when you would cough in your hand or sneeze in your hand and just wipe it on you or something like that. Like, oh, that's you coughed in your hand and you wiped it on you as if whatever's in your hand just disappeared on your shirt. You know, no, it's still there on the hand. I still get nightmares to this day, man. People would do that just freely. It's so nasty. But, you know, I've been a germaphobe for a while. So, and I remember I would literally, people would cough, you know, they would cough with nothing covering their mouths. I would almost walk across the street when they're coughing. You know, it was so crazy. So right now I got no problem, you know, doing social distancing over and over again. You know, it's actually, I like it. You know, people can't really see the look on my face underneath the mask when I'm calling them a dummy. So other than that, you know, there's nothing else I can say with that. So other than that, what's going on with my life, man? You know, my family, as far as my family, is doing good. I already talked about the COVID, you know, and everything. With my sisters, you know, I wish I had more of a relationship with my little sister, but I don't. And there's nothing that I can do about that. She's grown. She's 30-something. You know, there's absolutely nothing I can do. I know that at my age, which is very unfortunate, I'm 46, and I'm the patriarch of our family, which is unsettling to me because I didn't ask to be, you know, but unfortunately, I'm the oldest male in the family. So I know that when the matriarch, my mother of the family, you know, eventually it's going to happen. She's going to have to move on. I'm going to get thrusted in there, and I'm going to have to hold this family together because they're going to split apart and never really talk to anybody ever, you know. And I know this, and I see this, and I'm preparing now to be as strong as I can be because I know that, you know, this is just a natural thing of life. We live, we die, you know what I mean? And it's something that I never, ever want to think about, but I have to think about not just, you know, my mother's mortality, but mine as well. So I think about it and I try my best to prepare for it because if you're not prepared for it, man, I've seen people who are not prepared for it. It's just wild. But I've seen people who are prepared for it. And yes, it does still hurt, but it's not as a bad blow. You know, and that's my thing. I'm like, you know, let me try to get prepared for it. But how the hell do you prepare for, you know, a parent to pass? You know, would you buffer your feelings? No, you can't. You just kind of, you know, have to constantly tell yourself that the reality is this is going to happen and you don't know when. You have no idea when and you have no control over anything of it, you know. I mean, just besides, you know, defibrillators and stuff like that. But other than that, you have no control over that, you know. So I'm just preparing myself for the inevitable of life. You know, I don't think that my sisters are. I don't think that they're doing just that. I think that, you know, with their stubbornness between the two of them, you know, they're not going to be at all ready for anything to happen. And it's going to be a fiasco. It's going to be a shit show. Pardon my French. But, you know, I'm prepared to take on that challenge. That's no problem at all. I know that I'm going to have to do that. I had an uncle. My uncle passed when I was a kid. But I remember when he was alive. And I had one uncle on my mother's side. And the rest were all aunts. Four aunts and my mom. And they would always, you know, the aunts, they were sisters. They were always arguing everything. And it was my uncle who was always the peacemaker and always the, you know, y'all calm down and everything like that and chill out and be a family. And here I am. I'm the same thing right now, you know. And I'm just like, whatever. I can do it. That's no problem. I don't mean to sound like I'm complaining, you know. Those are just personal things, you know. Other than that, though, you know, with how I'm living right now in the home, in a new house and everything, it's so nice. I'm loving my life. I can't tell you how happy, like the thing is, it's happiness that I was searching for so long, and I actually planned it. And what people don't realize, and it's crazy. And I told my mother and my wife, because they were like, you know you don't plan on love and this and that. I'm like, no, actually I did, because I knew that any relationship that I was going to get into in my 20s, I was still a kid. There's no way. You don't just hit 18 and go, bing, I'm grown. No. I felt that I was not going to be anywhere near grown until at least 25, 26, 27. So I knew that there was not going to be a single relationship that was meaningful at all. And if I was in any, like, seeing somebody, Not a single person met my mother. So, you know, that's not serious. You know, if you didn't meet my mom, you weren't going to have it. And my mother met only one girlfriend that I've ever had. That's my wife. That's it. Never met any other one because for me, it was not a girl. I was not going to give you a piece of my heart if I knew that I was not going to be in this 100%. You know what I mean? So I knew in my 20s, I was not going to have any kind of what do you call it, love relationship or anything like that, you know. I knew I wasn't ready for kids, you know. The thing was, you know, your mom, you get taught at an early age, use protection, don't, you know, this and that, 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 that. So then you go through life, your 20s, no kids, 30s, I still got no kids. However, the women that are your age have already had their kids, and they were already, you know, their clock is like, bang, it's gone. You know what I mean? It's done. So like with my wife, she already had grown kids, basically, you know, when we got married. So, you know, my little biological clock was like, hey, you know, goo goo gaga. But hers was like, this person's in college, you know what I'm saying? The last kid is in college. So I can't see, and I couldn't see her, you know, going through everything all over again just for me, even though the love is strong. But nah, man, you don't put that on anybody. So I would love to, but it's you know, it's whatever, you know. But the kids, as far as, you know, my stepkids, they're doing great. I'm glad that they are finally out and adulting, because the last two were 22 and 25, respectively, living in at home, living in their room, you know. And the worst, the thing that was killing me about that before we all moved out was that, you know, the problem when you're grown at home is you have to know how to replenish. That is the key word, is to replenish. And you replenish everything. You use electricity, you replenish it with money. You have to pay things. You use the water, you replenish it. You use food, you replenish it. You use flour, you use soap, you use anything, you replenish it. You restock, you know. But none of that was going on. And then, you know, they were messy and not cleaning up. And then my wife was the only one cleaning up. That was driving me absolute batty, you know. And but the thing is, they're stepkids. There's a line drawn earlier in the relationship that you already know that you can't cross. You know what I mean? And if you do, it's just going to cause you a whole bunch of trouble that you really don't even need and you don't want. You know, I grew up with a stepfather, you know, and granted, he used to beat us, but you know, I grew up with that. I know how that is, you know, and my mother grew up with that, you know, and I just, and her stepfather beat her. So when I became a stepfather, I'm like, no, man, I'm breaking. That was my biggest thing. I'm breaking this here cycle, you know. But with step, I couldn't discipline them the way I would really have disciplined, like get your together, you know what I mean, and do something. But finally, we had to move. They had to move. And so when that happened, the little oomph kind of helped, and they got their own apartments. They finally got driver's license and they drive. So it's really good. My oldest stepdaughter is a nurse, and she went and bought her own house, you know, got married, you know, which was really good. You know, and it was crazy. She got married to her high school sweetheart. They were dating for about 15 years. And I talked to him. I said, man, why, you know, why you want to keep being girlfriends and boyfriends and stuff like that? You know, don't you want to be something else? So, you know, I think that kind of convinced them to go ahead and, you know, go ahead and get married. And they got married in Vegas, which was very nice. It was really, really nice ceremony and everything. So I really love them, man. I really love my stepkids, because they're three completely different people, you know. But then at the same time, you can see how they think exactly alike, you know. So, all right. Well, that's my, you know, little 15 minutes of 2022. You know, I wish everyone out there is, and I hope everyone out there is doing well, and I hope this disease is not bringing you down. Trust me, I know how it is. This disease broke me as a person. I wanted to take myself out. There was a time that not only did I want God not to wake me up, I was like, you know, I might even take myself out. And I'll explain that a little bit later on as to why, in the moment in a parking lot that I felt that way. You know, because I just, well, it was because of MS. Well, you'll hear it later on. But I just want to touch bases with everyone. Say happy, happy new year. Tell you guys that you're strong and you can do this, because you made it this far. Damn it, you can make it even further. All right. I know this. You know, you just got to believe in yourself. You look at yourself. You keep saying that you can do it. That's the biggest thing. You keep saying, I can do it. I can do it. Because once you say I can't, you're going to be like, you know, right, I can't. No, forget that. Keep saying you can do it. Keep positive vibes. Keep thinking positive, you know what I mean? Stay elevated. I remember this a line he said, positive energy activates constant elevation. Peace. Always remember that, you know. So everyone out there, take care. Fuck MS. Hopefully they'll find a cure. You know they're not, because there's money in the treatment. And you guys take care of yourself, all right?